Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. Thanks for tuning in tonight to Raising Expectations. We look forward to being with you every Monday, and then we hope you tune us in all during the week on different formats that make it easy, accessible, and available for you wherever you might be. Tonight, we've got a great show coming for you, and I'm going to move right along for time's sake tonight and introduce, as we always do, because we get new people all the time. I know quite a few tuning in tonight for the first time because they let me know today. So I want to start with our tremendous team. I'm Pastor Joe. Most everybody knows me. He's the old guy over there. But let me tell you about the greatest friends you'll ever meet that are part of this wonderful co-host team. First of all, starting on the West Coast, my friend for many, many years, Dr. Paul Hall. He's coming to you from Lompoc, California. I got it right. Paul is a retired pastor. He's a college professor. He's a teacher. He's a writer. Paul's loved by thousands of people, and he will bring great insight. You're going to love hearing from Paul tonight. We love him very, very much. And moving from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast, we have two more of our favorite wonderful people on this team. We have, first of all, I'm going to start with Stephanie, and then also Dr. Craig that we call Tank there. Steph is the founder, director, and CEO of Quenching Well. She's a specialist in health and welfare and taking care of your body and knowing how you run. And she has tremendous insights, and she helps people to find out how to take care of their health, but also she does it through her personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. She's a great woman of faith, as is her husband, Dr. Craig, who we call Dr. Tank. He's a trauma surgeon. He's a nutrition expert. Most of all, he's another great guy. It's something about guys who are men of faith. When they love the Lord, it just shines through their life. And he is one of them, blesses our life every week. The two of them, well, they're a dynamic team because the two of them together cover everything you need to know about who you are, where you're going, and how you're taking care of yourself in the meantime. So from the East Coast, right there in Dalton, Georgia, near South Carolina. That's how I remember that one. We're going to go all the way back to Central America, the great state of Texas, one of our favorite pastors in the whole wide world. And that's Pastor Ron Greer, who is he's coming from McKinney, Texas. And Ron loves the Lord. Ron is a pastor. He was a fire chief, man. He was a Marine. He was asked to run for Congress. I mean, the guy is knowledgeable, lovable. Most of all, the love of Christ shines through his life also to everyone. And he works with a great group that's called Man in the Mirror, based out of Florida, helping to disciple men to understand who they are. Because men who understand who they are can be greater men to their wives, to their children, to their families, and to whoever they come in contact with. God calls us to be like him. He helps us to understand how. So tonight, we're all here. We got a great team set up for you. We have Assemblyman Kevin Kiley, who is from the 6th District here. He's an Assemblyman since 2016 in the state of California. And he is going to be our special guest. He is the congressional candidate running for District 3 here in California. So, and as of this moment, I want you to see that right here, he looks like this, so that you could tell what he looks like, because he's going to pop up here anytime. We use a special portal that brings people in like that, and somehow that portal might have got plugged up tonight. We never know scientifically what might happen with the portal. So we're waiting. He's going to come in any minute. So he will be speaking his talking points, and You know, you might remember that he was with us not too long ago. What was it, guys? Maybe about 6 months, 3 months
ago? July. Yeah, July 18th. Yeah.
Okay. July 18th. He has some great talking points. Hey, Paul, you want to share, if you've got them there, maybe possibly a couple of those talking points? And Paul wrote those down. If you've got them right there, let's kind of lead into that, and we'll go from there with him tonight.
You know, he was talking about that he's holds conservative values. And we discussed that just a little bit, you know, in the time that he was with us. He also talked about being a big supporter of charter schools. He's against the vaccine mandates, interestingly enough. And he also, unique for a politician, I think, he refuses to take donations from special interest groups. And during the time he served as an assemblyman, he's even foregone his salary. You know, he serves, you know, out of his heart. And one of the things that he brought up as well was about education and restoring freedom in our classrooms. So I'm hoping as he gets on tonight, you know, as we get closer to this November date when we're going to have these elections, that maybe he can clarify a little bit. Now, I live in California, which usually causes people's faces to turn upside down and wrench, and their ears close and things like that. Our illustrious governor has signed three more ridiculous things. You know, we are now a transgender sanctuary state. Interesting enough. No longer is it against the law to jaywalk in California. And the third thing, if I could remember, rap music, regardless of what the rap lyrics say, that the author of those lyrics can't be held responsible for anything that he writes in a rap song. So these are things that Kevin appears to be deeply interested in. And I'm curious, I always like to hear the great overview, you know, and paint the big picture. But I also like to say, well, how are you going to do that? You know, what specific kind of things are you willing to do and be involved in to bring about change? Now, my final thing I want to say, I don't want to hog the conversation, but he says our country's worth fighting for. And I think one of the big things that's happening now is people have fought so long and so hard that there's almost a spirit of apathy in terms of just, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about it. You know, what's going to be is going to be, and I just give up. And we can't give up. We are in the fight for as long as it takes. So those are some of the things that I remember Kevin was talking about. And I hope in the half hour that we have with him, we don't have very much time, that he's able to talk about some of those things.
Yes. You know? So direction.
I took notes because Paul, I don't know if you noticed this, Pastor Paul takes amazing notes. So I started doing this because of him.
Yeah, good.
And it's really good. So thank you, buddy.
I cheat off of those. So.
Kevin said, we talked about the homelessness problem in California. And then he also talked about how the Hispanic vote is becoming more conservative, more traditional values. And we also had a good conversation about pastors and pastors needing to stand up and, you know, be more involved and that sort of thing. You know, if you weren't in California during COVID, you know, they came pretty hard after the churches, and there was a good kind of rising up of, wait a second, this is a right that we have. So I'm excited to have him on because I wanted to ask him about the gas stuff that's going on, and he's fundraised a lot, and the debate he might have. And so.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all have noticed or not, but gas prices in Lompoc, California, are going up. I noticed yesterday at the Chevron station, which typically is more expensive than other brands, $6.59 for a gallon of regular gas. So here we go again. You know.
Well, and, I think the people in Washington have been very clear about that, Paul. That's just,
I think so.
It's really not going up. It just seems.
Kevin can speak to this actually because he had something up that they shut down. I'm sure he would love to chat on this.
There's the assemblyman.
Hey guys, I'm sorry I'm late. How you doing?
We're doing great. Good to see you.
We're used to it.
We just saved the nation for you. You can take over from here.
Oh, good. All right. That saves me a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Well, welcome.
I was trying to imitate you, but they didn't believe me. Sorry.
I'm sure you're going to
welcome you. You're on call for now.
Yeah. We're glad you're here. You might remember the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Thayers were from your group. They were up there in California. Where was it? What county is Placer County? They were there. And Paul's down South California. And Ron is in Central California in Texas. And then I'm over in Rockland, not far, right here next to you, like when we talked. So
I'm back in America, myself.
Yeah, that's in the middle. Maybe, Kevin, you could share a few of your points of what you feel in light of. We talked about Newsom's new three things today. We talked about gas still going up. We talked about some other things. But maybe you could address what you feel is important as you get ready to win District 3 and be our next congressman. And then maybe it would save just a little time as you watch it, too, on your time that we might maybe ask a couple of questions. I know the folks would love to. Welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Sounds good to me.
Amen. Take it away.
Well, thanks for having me on, and really good to join you again. And, we're hitting the home stretch here of the campaign. We've got just a little over a month to go, or just really a week to go before people start voting, because the ballots will come in about a week. So it's exciting because I think that we've got a lot of momentum. I think we got a really great shot to claim this open seat and to help retake the majority in the House. We really need change right now. Things are, we're in kind of a dire state of affairs when it comes to a lot of things in this country right now. The economy just keeps getting worse. Inflation keeps getting worse. Gas prices are now back up near what their record high was, over $2.60 higher in California than the rest of the country. Folks are really struggling with these just extreme economic conditions, which have been created by failed and radical policies implemented at both the state and the federal level. So I'm looking forward to getting to work immediately to turn the tide and to restore some sanity and common sense to national policy and to get our economy moving in the right direction again so that prices come down, we get people back to work, the stock market will hopefully start doing better, because right now we're sort of not hitting on any cylinders. And so
that's about where it sits. Steph, did you have a question that you wanted to?
I was doing some research on you since the last time we had you on, and it looks like you've had some great fundraising efforts in Q3. So from my perspective, it looks like you've got some good momentum going. Any thoughts on that?
We had a really good quarter that just ended at the end of September. So for the last 3 months, we raised over $1 million from many, many thousands of individual citizen donors throughout the state of California, which I'm very proud of the grassroots nature of our campaign, that it's really fueled by patriots throughout California who want to make sure that our country doesn't repeat the same mistakes that our state has. This I'll add stands in stark contrast to my opponent, who's getting the lion's share of his funding from out of state, from sort of liberals on the East Coast who are funneling money, presumably at the behest of Nancy Pelosi. So it's a very different approach to funding. I tend to think that the approach that we're taking is the better one, to be funded by people in your own state and not special interests, but just ordinary people who who care about the future of our state and their kids' future, and are willing to make a personal sacrifice in order to for the good of the country.
Yes, amen. Amen. Ron, you got a question?
You're on mute, Ron.
Oh, Ron.
Oh.
I just love Ron Greer. Yeah.
There you go. Try it again, Ron.
What an amateur move. Well, on that note, tell people why it's not a good idea to have a candidate funded from outside the district, as opposed to just saying, well, it doesn't matter. It's getting the funds to reach more people if I have the funds to do so. What's wrong with that?
Well, it's about who you really are there to serve and to represent. And, you know, I have always tried to be a representative of the people, of the citizens, you know, in my district and throughout the state. And so, you know, and that's why I think people have stepped up and funded our campaign at such a high level and allowed us to compete against a campaign that is funded in a very different way. Is, you know, I think people are looking for a different type of representation. They're sick of people who go to Washington, D.C. and become part of the swamp. They become, you know, comfortable with all of the things that go on there. They just, you know, start playing the game and forget who sent them there and forget who they're there to represent. And so I really want to, you know, be a representative who's a true representative in every sense of the word, because, you know, this government does belong to the people. It doesn't belong to a political class in Washington, D.C.
Amen.
So the other question is, so how do you fight against that? How do you go to Washington and not get acclimated and sucked into the swamp where you become a part of the machine?
Sure.
Again, I spent enough time in Washington to know how absolutely intoxicating, how overbearing, and how uphill the battle is there to get anything done. So how do you plan to overcome that?
Yeah, well, I've had some good practice here in Sacramento, with you know, arguably worse in some ways. So I've tried to, you know, fight against it as opposed to becoming part of it. And that's exactly what I'm going to do in the sort of bigger, but, you know, probably comparable swamp that exists in D.C.
So the other question going along with that, how do you, because, you know, I know the leadership is in place there, the ruling class, and their job is to keep everybody in line underneath them doing as little as possible that they want to do. So how do you go about building coalition to folks actually start challenging that? And do you see the possibility of someone on the horizon who you can actually build coalitions with to do that?
Well, sure. And I'm willing to work in a bipartisan fashion wherever, you know, it's possible to actually get things done that are going to be good for the country. I want to build those bridges in every way that I can. But I also think it's important to stand by your principles. And, you know, one thing I've learned in our state's politics is that even when you're outnumbered as dramatically as we are, if you're willing to stand up and fight for your principles, then you can actually get some things done. And especially if you're able to, you know, mobilize and persuade the public to your side, then you can create pressure for, you know, policymakers to do the right thing, if not for any other reason than their own political survival. So, you know, that's the approach that I want to continue to take. I think that the people deserve a much louder voice in Washington, D.C. And so I want to go to the nation's capital and be a voice for all California conservatives and patriots who are part of this movement that we've built here.
Sure. Sounds good.
Evan, what would you say are the top three most pressing issues right now for the districts that you're running for?
Well, I'd say number one is the economy and inflation, just getting that under control. It is really making life hard for a lot of people, having to pay $6.50 or whatever the case might be for gasoline, and seeing grocery prices just continue to go up. I'd say the second one is immigration. We have a situation at the border that is absolutely unprecedented, 3 million people coming over. It's been almost by design, because the policies were reversed with very predictable consequences by this administration, not to mention the sanctuary policies that we have here in California. The third, I think, is crime. We've had, you know, a big rise in crime across California and many parts of the country. And it's also no mystery why that's the case. We have liberalized a lot of our criminal laws. We've taken away accountability. And then we've also taken tools out of the hands of our law enforcement officers with the defund the police movement and various measures associated with that. And so I think that on all three fronts, we need to have immediate and significant change to get to fight inflation, to secure the border, and to restore respect for law enforcement and consequences for criminal activity.
I go ahead, Ron.
No, go ahead.
I, I just had a quick question. Dealing with the simple word apathy, whether it's national, I mean, even Saturday Night Live couldn't come up with anything funny about presidents because they're scared to death to do it about this president. I mean, they could have a 2-hour program with one writer. But when you look at what's happening now, that when it comes to ex-president Trump, they're so afraid of anything he's going to do. Now, winding that back, one of their key things would appear to me is that they want the people to be so tired of hearing about Trump that they don't want him to even be a factor. It's going in reverse for them. Now, back to California. So many people, we kid about it some, but it is pretty sad. If we grew up in California, we love this state, and we know all the great things that Reagan and others and so many did to make California great. There's an apathy that's out there. It's a frustration-based apathy, I believe. But do you have maybe a suggestion? Because you've been battling this since, what, 2016 or 15, and you've been on the front line of this. And if anybody knows the foxhole, you do, and we want to go in it with you and fight for this. What do we do? Do you have a suggestion that we can keep people being positive when we look at inflation and the immigration problem and the gas problem and all the other things, the law enforcement? You can steal things up to $1,000 and walk away. Nobody's going to do anything to prosecute you, but don't you dare jaywalk. You know, of course, now you can. So you're off the bank. You're safe. Something, give maybe a word to Californians to say, hey, because we want to support you here like we did and all the way to Washington.
Well, I'd say that, you know, as bad as things are, I think that there's hope because we have the ability to change them. And I think that's what you've actually seen happening in really powerful ways for the last few years, as more and more citizens have gotten involved in bringing about change for the first time. And we've already seen some pretty impressive results. For example, in San Francisco, they recalled their district attorney from office, and they recalled 3 of their school board members from office by overwhelming margins. And so if that can happen in San Francisco, then it really can happen anywhere. That's the most liberal city in the country. And, you know, we now have hundreds of parent leaders who have stepped up and are running for school boards in every part of California. I've actually endorsed over 200 school board candidates who are pro-parent and pro-kid. We call them champions for kid. I have them all posted on my website. So wherever you are in the state, you can search for her, the pro-parent, pro-student school board members are in your area. And so that's what I think is really, really inspiring right now, is that we have sort of this opportunity to really move things in a different direction. And it's happening not because of something that any particular politician is doing. It's happened because of something that millions of people throughout our state and throughout the country are doing.
Amen. Ron?
My question is, given the rapid nature of the deconstructing of all President Trump's sort of policies, right? The executive actions he took to really get the economy going, to, you know, set the oil industry on fire. Well, I shouldn't say set it on fire. Probably a bad choice of words, but anyway. In my mind, there's one the most critical thing that wasn't in place there was that the president's executive order, which should have been done by Congress. So Biden has but to come in and just sort of stroke for pen, just within a week, get rid of 4 or 5 significant executive orders. So how do you go about, and what's your thinking on Congress actually doing those things to make them permanent? And what things would you look at pushing for to do that?
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No problem. I mean, that's a really good point. It's one of the reasons why I think governing by executive order is generally not preferable. I mean, there are some, types of executive orders that are appropriate, like when it comes to how, different agencies are managed. That's sort of within the purview of executive power. But what you've seen, you know, with Biden, for example, is he's used executive orders to do things like create a nationwide COVID vaccine mandate, or to, create this student debt relief program in just by the stroke of a pen. Obviously Gavin Newsom insisted on ruling the state by decree and governing, you know, the most minute fashion facets of people's lives by executive order. So I think that is sort of the antithesis of a representative form of government when you have one person who is simply setting policy by fiat. Now, you mentioned that there were some executive orders in the Trump administration, which is true. I don't know that you ever had anything that was abusive in the same way that these orders by Biden or Newsom are. But even where there are, you know, that it's an appropriate use of executive power, the point you make is an important one, that the changes are less durable if they happen by executive order, because then the next president can just come in and immediately reverse it. Whereas if you have a law that is passed by Congress and signed by the president, then in order to get that law reversed, then you have to have another Congress come in and pass a bill to reverse it and be signed by the president. So it's a lot more difficult. So I do think that that's you know, why it is important to enact substantive policy changes through the legislative process, and why, you know, it's going to be, of course, more difficult to do that when we have divided government, assuming we get the House back. But if there's a Republican president and a Republican Congress, then after 2024, then I think it'd be important to really get the right policies into statute.
Any chance you think of having a larger majority in the House to be able to, say, override President Vito? Or is that reaching too far?
Well, I mean, it's pretty rare to have an override. It happens occasionally. But I mean, it's pretty much out of the question that you'd have either party get over 2/3 of the seats in the House, at least, you know, not anytime soon. But, you know, there have been examples where, you know, Republicans and Democrats have joined together to override a president's veto, but they're pretty few and far between.
Yeah, especially these days, right? Yeah. I want to get your input on the latest Commitment to America campaign by the speaker. Yeah. Well, maybe you shouldn't ask.
Well, no, I mean, I think it hits on the right issues. It talks about immigration. It talks about public safety. It talks about jobs and the economy and inflation. It talks about education and parental rights. So I think that those are the issues that people really care about. And I think it's good to have a united front on those issues and to make it clear that we're going to be active as a majority and not just kind of sit around and wait to hopefully get the White House back. But it's really up to individual candidates then to really articulate those ideas in a way that, you know, is sensible and that speaks to the concerns of their constituents and voters.
Yeah. Well, just from my perspective, I really would wish they had done what Newt Gingrich did back in the day, where there were specific things they were going to do a specific amount of time. That would have gave me a whole lot more confidence in it. Anyway, that's just another, sorry.
Sure.
Go ahead, Paul. Sorry about that.
No, I just think our confidence is shaken. I do. The people that I talk to, and that's, albeit it's not a whole bunch of people, but there seems to be a fairly good consensus that the DOJ's been weaponized, the FBI can't be trusted, the CIA is up to no good, Biden can do anything he wants without any repercussions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Even though there's a blatant and flagrant abuse of the law and what the law says. So my question, Kevin, is if when you get to Washington, I guess here's my question. Jimmy Stewart, Mr. Smith, went to Washington. Okay. Can Mr. Smith go to Washington these days? Really? I mean, seriously? Because I think that's a question that permeates in people's minds, you know, like, okay, I'll go vote, but big deal. So what? It's going to be, you know, it's not going to count, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's hard to remain positive in the atmosphere that we've had to live in for the, you know, past few years. So when you go to Washington and what to the person who doesn't know how it works, okay, when you have a topic in front of you and it needs some resolution in a reasonable, makes sense kind of way, what steps do you take? I mean, what does Kevin do when he gets to Washington and he finds people of like-mindedness? What steps do you take that we could kind of hold out some hope and say, you know what? It's not all talk. There is action, and these are some things. These are the steps that can be taken. Okay, is that a fair question?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's a great question, and I think that, you know, for me, the steps involve getting as much feedback and, and opinions from my constituents as possible. And that's what I've sought to do here in our legislature. Is I have, citizen advisory councils for all of the major sort of issue areas. For example, I have an education advisory council that has teachers and parents and administrators and, school board members and other education representatives. I have a healthcare one that has nurses and doctors and patients groups and so forth. I have a public safety one that has sheriffs and fire chiefs and, EMS leaders. So, that sort of gives me a direct line to the affected communities in my district. And we also, monitor our phone lines and all of our emails and our mail for all the opinions that people express when they write in. That's really, and obviously you can't do that on each and every issue, but you can try to get, or each and every bill, but you can try to at least get a sense of, where people are at and what consensus exists. And then you have to sort of make an independent judgment as to how best to represent that, often diverse range of opinions and how to make a decision that is in the best interest of the folks that you're there to represent.
Mm. And in fairness to you, Kevin, Mr. Smith goes to watch this movie back in the 50s.
It was a great movie.
I saw you two smile. I had no idea what you were talking about.
It's a wonderful movie because, it's so rich in terms of what can happen. I think people want hope. Question, yeah. Kevin, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to subject yourself to being under the microscope and criticized, day in, day out? Why does Kevin want to do this?
Well, I think that, our state and our country are worth fighting for. And, I'm not the only one who's stepping up and fighting. I think that you guys are doing this yourselves. You're out there making your voices heard, speaking out, subjecting yourself to criticism. And I see people doing that in various ways in their community now and, in ways that take an enormous amount of courage. So I'm just, I'm playing my own part. But it's a battle that I think has a lot of people, fighting alongside me now. And that really gives me, the strength and the inspiration to continue fighting. Because, this is the greatest country that the world has ever known. And I think California is the greatest state in the country. And we simply can't let either be ruined by corrupt and failed policies that we see happening right now. So, if ever there was a time to fight, this is it. And whatever slings and arrows come your way, I think is a price worth paying.
I found this wonderful quote by Ben Franklin. He said, government is like, it's two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. and he says, liberty, and that's a key word, liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
Okay. Yeah,
I've never heard that. It's just a great quote.
So, Kevin,
that's funny. I didn't hear that before.
I've never heard that one before either. I know you voting is going to start next week. So, what's the best way to stay connected and plugged in with you as this voting begins?
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And you can find out what's going on my website. It's just electkevinkiley.com. K-I-L-E-Y, electkevinkiley.com.
And I'll just tell you, thank you for representing us when we live there. And all of our friends are like, what? You're having Kevin Kiley on again. So you're very well
aware. Oh, wow.
Right now. So fine. I just want you to know that.
I'm very honored. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity and, providing a channel for people to learn the truth about what's going on and learn how that they can join with their sort of fellow patriots and citizens and in fighting for the country. I think that's so important right now. So thank you for what you guys are doing.
Kevin, we're watching our time, but I should like to say a prayer for you before you go. We'd all like to hold you. I like Steph say, we'll all be thinking about you, Ron. Ron's covering the central United States and East Coast. We got you covered all over. We're going to be putting the word right about you all up and down the coast. And we'll stay with you. When you're in Washington, we'll stay with you all the way.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
We'll do a quick prayer for you because we want to lift you up to where our strength comes from. Father in heaven, we thank you for the joy of knowing Christ as our Savior and the strength that comes on a daily basis, because we want to ask you to bless this assemblyman, Kevin Kiley, and we pray our future congressman. Bless him with your presence. Give him your insight. Give him the ability to understand and to have wisdom, to even, as Paul said, to understand between the wolf and the lamb what you would have him to do, so that he might represent all the people of this district, that he might be a part of bringing back this nation to its greatness, and that he might be safe, secure, he and his family, and strengthened. And Father, when it gets tough, would you please remind him as we lift him up in prayer that people love and are backing and support him, and that he will get through all of this in a great way. We love you, Lord. Thanks for watching over this great man. We lift him to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You're right. Kevin, thank you.
Well, thank you. Really good to see you guys. And, I look forward to coming back sometime soon and telling you about all the insanity in Washington.
You got you. God bless you.
All right. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Thanks.
Well, we got some. We'll keep right on praying, huh, guys? And keep right on going. And anybody have a comment? Who'd like to go first? Have a comment on that?
Yeah, so I want to talk about this gas thing now that he's not there, because I was, preparing for him to be on. And the gas has been going down for us. And then, my best friend has diesel, and she's telling me it's over $7 a gallon in California. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And, Kevin had proposed earlier in the year that they temporarily remove one of the taxes, which is 50 cents, and there's a few things that account for like $1.50 or $2 in the gas for California very quickly, right? And I know some of them go to road, well, in theory they go to road repair, but yeah. I'm not sure that's true. Right. It got completely shut down, right? And then you hear Newsom on this like rant, and he's gonna tax the big guy or whatever for it's just, what is it, ruling with a stick? There's some term. It's just totally out of control over there. It breaks my heart because there's a lot of great things about that state.
Now, Stephanie, he actually did it three times. So like he you did. Were both saying, Ron and Paul, he doesn't quit. He's not a quitter. He's going to be a Mr. Smith. When you said that, Paul, I was thinking, I hope he knows that. That was such a good example.
What's it called? I'm going to watch it.
Smith goes to Washington.
Mr. Smith goes to Washington. Okay.
But three
this
times.
It's a more ideal time. But
he fought for California's for gas, and he got shot down each time. But they respect him because he's a fighter. And I think we need men like him up there that will do, like you were saying, Paul, put some gas in the tank and drive it forward, like Ron was saying. And I don't think anybody's going to, he doesn't worry about people like Liz Cheney. Excuse me, I'm going to say that, yeah, because I think she needs to go back to Casper. Oh, that's right. She can't go there now. She'll have to go back to where she came from before, Wyoming. But in any event, God bless her. And there's just nothing personal. Just I don't like you at all. But other than that, moving right along. Anybody else? Paul, you got anything you want to say there?
Paul is done.
I think one of the things that drives this whole thing is passion. The left, they're passionate about what they, what they want. It would be like witnessing, going to a guy's door in an effort to share Christ and knocking on the door, and they answer the door, and you look at him and you go, you wouldn't want to receive Jesus, would you?
Would you?
You've already answered the question, and there is no passion. I have such profound respect for our founding fathers who wrestled through these issues over and over and over and hammered out this wonderful thing of our Constitution. Alexander Hamilton said in one of his writings, he says, passion never fails to rest, W-R-E-S-T, to wrest the scepter from reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, like when I heard on the news today what Gavin Newsom signed into law today. Jaywalking? Are you kidding me? I mean, things are out of control, and now you're going to make it legal to cross the street anywhere you want. And he did it because he said that it wasn't equitable for different ethnic groups of people. So it wasn't equitable. So my question is, now you can cross the street in the middle of the street and you get hit by a car, okay, who's at fault? You know, exactly. I mean, just there's no reason to this. I mean, let's don't do the reasonable thing, like cross at the intersection with a light. Does that make sense? You know, I don't know. So I just look at these things and my head just goes, our founding fathers got to be just flipping like there's no tomorrow, you know?
Yeah. I'm going crazy watching these bills. I'm going crazy with what he's passed. So last week, Newsom passed, you know, very aggressive abortion laws. And you can come from another state to get an abortion as a minor. Your parent will never be notified. But in addition, one of them has infanticide. So if the baby is killed after birth, and I'm watching this and I don't understand how anyone can justify that. And yet we want to protect a rapper's freedom to artistic speech. And then in the same breath, my husband, if he had a different opinion about COVID than some of the CDC published things, now his California medical license is at risk. And he can't say these things, so I'll say them. It is the practice of medicine, and there are best practices, just like practicing law are these different things. But he's going to look at a patient and say, oh, gosh, maybe they don't fit that normal protocol. It is completely unacceptable what is happening there. And I hope that more people like Kevin Kiley step up to have some common ground and coming back together from this far reaching thing that I would honestly call evil. I don't know what else to call it.
Yes, exactly.
It certainly is evil. I mean, it's just wicked. Some of those things that that cause my blood to boil.
Me too.
I mean, just like the one you mentioned, right? So you decriminalized jaywalking because adversely impacts certain people groups. So in other words, black people, brown people, you know, just too stupid to cross at the crosswalk. So we're going to just take the law away because it's too overbearing on you guys. And it's one of those things where you listen to it and going, one of the most derogatory and racist things that you can say. It's, you know, okay, so we're too stupid to do that, right? Okay, all right.
It's actually a slight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're too sort of stupid and immoral and just don't have the facilities to kind of grasp, you know, grammar and English language in a moral way. So any other crap you spur out, well, it's just a part of their culture. So, and they don't know any better. You know, they can't do any better. So we're going to decriminalize.
We're going to see you suffer. Yeah.
Oh, it's insane. Absolutely insane. Absolutely wicked. And, you know, and the other thing is it's par for the course. Every single election cycle, one party in particular, bends over backwards to make people of color feel and assume that we're for you and we're doing all this great stuff for you. And every single dictator and tyrant who've taken over a country has done the exact same thing. You know, some of us are old enough to remember Chavez with whirlwind win in Venezuela and watched all the tactics and things he used. But then some of us are old enough to remember in Cuba in the 1960s, this guy Castro, who by the way was traveling around the United States, amazing popular speaker at college campuses back in the day, and in some churches, I might add, goes back to Cuba. And you listen to the rhetoric, it's still the same. You appeal to the poor, the ones who think that they're poor and disadvantaged, all the great things you're going to do for them. And then you put a few things in place, a few nuggets, that causes them to, you know, loyally follow you, vote you in.
Right.
While you're cutting their throat and castrating them at the same time. But hey, I gave you a great piece of meat in your hand. It's insanity, absolute insanity.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Because to me, one of the fundamental differences between the two parties is one thinks that society is not intelligent enough to take care of themselves, and they're going to tax you as much as they can, forgive your debt for school,
tell you how to live.
I mean, Obama's 20,000-page thing had social workers coming into every single home to do an eval of your kids' training and how you're teaching them or where they're going, how to do your own thing. Like, cool, where's your freedom? Versus the other party, which is more, let's tax less, let's try and get the supply up rather than demand and a better economy. And then we donate, you know, I mean, we give back.
Yeah, the thing that amazes me is how acceptable sort of Marxist mentality and communist mindset that was. I mean, you go back to the 60s, even the middle 60s, late 60s, the vast majority of the mature population would hear these phrases and hear these concepts and automatically know for a fact that it was communist and reject it. It would shoot it right down. Nobody in their right mind would proclaim and do and say these things in public without getting all kind of backlash. I mean, you'd be ostracized. And that was the case until probably about the mid 70s when the I'd say the church and then the older population just sort of gave up. They were intimidated and beat down and just finally said, you know, we can't do anything, can't stop this. And they just kind of hid themselves. And then all the radicals took over and those ideas permeated. You know, you look at, I mean, I look at back in school. I remember taking in junior high at the time, middle school now it's called, but you were required to take citizenship classes all 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in citizenship classes, you have to learn the Constitution, history, all those sorts of things, right? And at the same time, you've got to be in ninth grade. You learn the difference between socialism, communism, capitalism, all those things. And if you didn't learn those things, you didn't pass. Well, I mean, right. It was because it was a part of the normal American mindset. But now you take those things out of school again, 75, 74, get rid of all that, you know, Eurocentric white man's teaching and you know, all these other bright ideas. And now we look at ourselves down the line. You have every average American around you talk to. They cannot tell you the difference between a Marxist idea and a traditional American. They can't. They don't know the difference.
They don't know history. They don't know any of that. I'd like to go down a long road right now. I don't have time, but I tell you what, Ron, you're spot on. That's it. They just don't know. No, they don't know any of this stuff. In Europe, Western civilization, as we know it, Jim Robbins, Dr. Robbins will be back with us in about 3 or 4 weeks. And you're going to see it. I mean, he covers the Reagan, the Institute of Politics in Washington, D.C. He's going to talk about that. But I want to go quickly back for a second.
Oh, sorry.
To medicine, just to medicine for a second. You know, I just tell the folks on the program, you may know, we have perhaps the best trauma surgeon in the entire United States of America on this team with us. And, you know, he's not going to say that, but the difference is his heart. It's not just his mind, it's his heart. And the doctors that we remember led with their heart. It wasn't just a Hippocratic oath. It was a call of God on their life to touch, to heal, to be used of God. I can remember doctors in my life, and Tank is just like this. And we have another doctor in the same boat, Dr. Georgette Nichols. And, you know, she's in a big lawsuit in Texas, what she's going through right now, because she took an ethical stand. And you've seen her. In fact, I heard today from the former congressional candidate, Charles, and he shared with us about what she's going through. She'll be coming back on in January sharing some. And I want you to pray for people like this who take stands, because they are under the guidance of the great physician. And the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, has a purpose and a call on their life. And our lives are blessed, whether they're in the operating room, whether they're on the programs, whether we meet them on the street, whether they're sitting us in church. Men like Tank and ladies like Georgette, these are people who are going to be used of God. Great days are coming ahead. And we can take Dr. Fauci and send him to China, and that would be fine. In the meantime, let's go. Let's make some of these guys go.
Hey,
we're gonna take just a moment and kick this over to, unless Paul has a quick thought at that point, and then you can kick it over. Did you have a thought with the wheels running?
Gosh, I haven't had a thought in. No. I don't know we have much time. I'd like to set something up that I'd like to pursue at some point, you know, when we were on this together. Ron, you talked about, if I heard you correctly, you talked about going to Washington can be pretty heady, you know, it can get in your head, and power and the abuse of power and things like that. I'd like to pursue that sometime, because it speaks, I think, to the very bottom line of the core. It is the nature of man, you know, apart from Christ. He's unregenerate. He's lost. He's, you know, leans on his own understanding, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe that's something we could pursue in the future. I think it'd be a worthwhile conversation, Because the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but it leads to destruction. And so maybe we could just kind of plant that seed and have something to say about that in the future. Well, I'd appreciate it.
Make a motion that we bring Paul on as a guest.
Yes. I love that.
Bring it in. There you go.
We'll y'all are so sweet.
That's a great idea. I just made a note, and we'll work on that. Absolutely. So, Stephanie's got a word for us.
Okay, it's my turn.
Yeah, you're
right. We love that you guys hang out with us, and I actually think that we should pre-record because we're pretty funny at the beginning, and we joke. You see us more serious, but there were some good bloopers tonight, and TJ did not have it recorded, but it was worthy. So we have a good time here. We want to bring you honest, thought-provoking, interesting stuff. Oh, it's recorded, so we can get a blooper. And it takes money to have a show. We appreciate any support that you can offer. You can find out how to give at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. There it is, the fabulous TJ. And there's the donate button. And there is nothing too small or too big. We appreciate what you can give. And you can also catch on here 5 prior recordings. We're on YouTube. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Facebook. We're everywhere. Just look for one of us and you'll find us. But that the website is the best place to go to. And I want to encourage you guys. It is election cycle right now. Your vote does matter. And there are so many people that are registered to vote that don't go vote. If you are discontented with what is happening right now, you need to go and vote. It's honestly, I think it's your obligation as a citizen, and it's something that you should be doing, even if your opinions aren't the same as mine, which clearly they should be. But if they aren't, you still, it's important, you guys, go down there. Represent yourself so that the right people can then go and represent you.
There you go.
Well, I'm going to give you Brad Pitt in a movie. Brad Pitt in a movie, sad. In a soldier movie, he said, "Don't cry over what you've lost if you're not willing to fight for what you have."
Yeah. You know? The tank one? The Fury.
Yeah, we have 3 minutes, so you can banter some more.
Yeah. Go, Joe.
I
like how we went from Ben Franklin to Brad Pitt. I just have to say that.
You got to read a lot.
It's pretty close. Yeah. Hey, I want to put my number out there for you also, guys, because there's a Venmo way you can donate to the show now. If you have Venmo, you can also use Venmo. But give me a call. It's at the end of the show, too. It's 972-922-8556. 972-922-8556. There's something right there. And also, we want to make sure that you know tonight. Yeah, it's kind of like a Lawn Park or whatever it is.
Lawn Park, yeah.
Lawn Park.
It's a double white community, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. We want you to make sure you get this. ElectKevinKiley.com. Easy to remember. ElectKevinKiley.com. Write it down, check it out, and see why he's here. Steph?
He didn't mention this, but I was looking at KCRA is a news station I really like in Sacramento, and they're going to have a debate up. Just said sometime in October. It wasn't scheduled yet for him and his opponent. So if you want to see him in action, definitely worth staying informed that way.
Should be on there. So that debate should be good. ElectKevinKiley.com. So make sure you have that one. Well, all right. We have nothing left. 1 minute?
Okay. Well, I would say, sorry.
Go ahead, Ron. Give me 10 seconds. Go.
All right. I would say also that everybody who's watching and hearing, make sure you pray for the people who you know need to be there. As Paul was alluding to, I will tell you with no uncertain terms, if you're going to Washington, it is an animal, a monster that would eat you, anybody. Mm-hmm. And it takes a whole lot of divine intervention to keep from being sucked into the swamp there. It is absolutely wicked. So be praying for whoever your choice is. I say pray fervently for them as they go to Washington.
Amen. Exactly right. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in tonight to Raising Expectations. We'll see you next week. Same time, same station. Pray for us during the week. We'll pray for you. And remember, God's got something great for you. Just wait till you find it all week long. Talk to him, and he'll talk to you.
God bless. Good to see you.
Good to see you all.
See ya.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.
BBS Radio TV, leading you out of the darkness and into the next room where there's seating and popcorn and BBS Radio TV.